Chapter 3. Krul's Dance. The great chamber of the Senatorium Imperialis was in pandemonium at the explosions in the palace moments after the departure of the Orc ambassador. Fearing a new offensive against them, the nerve of the great and good of the Imperium broke. Prefecti and consularies wrestled with menials and aides as the exits clogged with human bodies. They scrambled over each other, trampling their fellows in their rush to escape. Drakan Vangorich, Grand Master of the Officio Assassinorum, grabbed Mikado and shook him. "Where are the Eldar?" demanded Vangorich. Mikado looked at him dumbly.
"The Viridarium Nobilis, 5 levels down."
"That's only 5 kilometers from the Sanctum Imperialis." Mikado nodded. His eyes were still wide, his fingers limp around his vox horn. Vangorich came close to killing the captain of the Lucifer Blacks there and then.
"How many?"
"Reports are confused."
"How many?"
spat Vangorich through gritted teeth.
"A handful, 7 or 8, brightly coloured."
The man was rallying himself.
"I'll direct all my men to the defence of the throne room and inform Captain General Beyruth."
"I'm sure he's well aware of this breach," said Vangorich. "Send your men, but they'll be too late."
"Where are you going?" called Mikado as Vangorich shoved his way through the crowd.
"To deal with this myself."
He lifted his sleeve to his mouth and spoke into the vox bead hidden in a button there.
"Krul, I need you. Now."
He changed channels.
"Veritas, if you can hear me, meet me at the Sanctum."
No reply was forthcoming. Vangorich headed for the ablutorials. Near the exits from the main chamber, the press of the crowd was slackening as the cream of the Terran Adepta flailed at each other in their panic to escape. At the centre, the crush grew as men and women shoved their way down from the stacked ranks of seats. The 12 had already gone from the high table, whisked away by their bodyguards. At least, thought Vangorich, the Lucifer Blacks can do something correctly. He wove his way through the crowd with smooth and occasionally violent efficiency, his habitual insouciant amble cast away in favour of a predator's fluid movement. Many recognised him and did their best to get out of his way. Where they did not, he helped them along with fists and sharp elbows. By a wash fountain, he depressed an insignificant cherub's elbow. A hidden door slid open. Vangorich slipped into the tunnel it revealed. He hurried along its dark length, emerging into dim sunlight high on the south wall of the great chamber of the Senatorium Imperialis. He hurried groundwards through a network of concealed maintenance ladders and catwalks. Overhead, the orc moon hung pale in the washed-out sky. He glanced at it periodically. No activity there for the moment. Perhaps the orc ambassador had not yet returned. What the result of his embassy would be was anyone's guess. Events were getting ahead of Vangorich. Still, he thought, one thing at a time. At the bottom, Krul awaited him in the ground car of a rich man. The blood of the prior owner was still wet on the dashboard.
"We need to get to the Sanctum," he said.
"The roads are blocked," said Krul, getting out of the car. "I know a way. We need to take the high lines."
He pointed to a transport hub some 100 yards away. Pods rolled automatically into the station from their wire tracks as calmly as if this were any other day. They ran through the crowds, spilling from the Grand Chamber into the plaza and down into the daylight way. The transit terminus sat in the shadow of the high wall. People bunched around the terminus, fighting to get onto its boarding platforms. Krul battered his way through, Vangorich behind him. They hurled the people clambering into a waiting pod aside. The crowd recoiled, then surged back towards the open door until Krul caved in the face of the lead man with a deadly punch. The crowd shrank back again, and Krul slammed the door shut. Vangorich activated the pod with his signum, and it rose rapidly on creaking cables, leaving the boiling crowds below. Through yellowed plastic windows, they looked down on the Senatorum sector of the Imperial Palace. The highways were choked with the private vehicles of dignitaries and the nobility. Lesser streets were filled with civilians on their knees, wailing out panicked prayers and blocking the way for those trying to escape. Fights erupted, threatening riot. With nowhere to go, people simply ran back and forth madly, driven by adrenaline to do something, anything, in the face of the inevitable. The sky was crowded with aircraft and flocks of servo constructs as thick as the crowds on the ground. The orc moon loomed high overhead, intent unknown, its brutal face frozen in mirth at the uproar it had caused.
"Emperor, help us if this is the best we can muster to save ourselves," said Vangorich.
He was no believer in the faith, but it truly would take a god to solve this mess. Beast Cruel remained mute. It was weirdly calm in the pod, the violence beneath played out in silence. The wire the pod depended on headed up and down the multi-layered hives, seemingly at random. Vangorich overrode the system, preventing the pod from halting. At transit stops, horrified faces whipped by. The pod plunged on, drawn on by the vast mountain-sized edifice of the Sanctum Imperialis. The heart of the Imperium grew, dominating everything, a prison and a lens for the might of the being trapped within. The pod shifted lines, following a high track that led up and up. The wrinkled skin of the city dropped rapidly away. Cruel stood.
"Vent spire," he said,
pointing to a cathedral tower chimney that pointed vaingloriously at the attack moon. The assassins stopped the pod as it passed over a balcony jutting from the spire. They smashed the door and dropped down, broke their way into a maintenance portal, pushed their way past the herd of servitors who lived within the tower, and descended down into the upper levels of the endless inner hives of the Imperial Palace. They descended many levels, flying downstairs, ignoring elevators and lift platforms, heading always for the chatter of military vox and reports of the intruders. Eventually, they found their prey. Vangorich emerged into a machine hall thundering with the business of renewing the throne world's atmosphere deep below the false metal surface of Terra. Stale air hooted down plasteel tubes drawn by pistons driven by giant flywheels to be bubbled through lake-deep tanks of ancient glass clotted with algae. On the gantries over them, a sole gaudy alien battled single-handedly against a company of Astra Militarum.
"There," said Vangorich.
100 men were set against the Eldar. They crept towards it along the grid of catwalks. Following any law of engagement, it should have been overwhelmed many times over. Corpses littered the mesh over the water, their blood staining the algae black. All of them were human.
"We must question it," said Vangorich.
"It'll die before we can get to it," said Cruel.
The Eldar executed a flawless leap. Its form broke into a confusing trail of glimmering diamonds that twisted 20 meters over the soupy mess of the tanks. Its weapon hissed, and a stream of discs cut down 3 men before its feet touched steel again. The human commander shouted, directing his men to block the alien's escape routes. Lasbeams cut through the air, but the alien danced over them.
"I doubt that," said Vangorich. "Those men are outmatched."
"Then I'll see to it," said Cruel.
The Eldar pranced into a squad of Lucifer Blacks, slaying 7 with its sword. Not one of them came close to landing a return blow. Vangorich grabbed Cruel's shoulder.
"Beast, this is one of their warrior dancers. I thought them a legend, but evidently they are not."
"And?" said Cruel.
"And be careful."
Cruel looked at him incredulously.
"You've never warned me before."
"There is, as they say, a first time for everything. This is one of those times."
Vangorich released his assassin. Cruel snorted dismissively. Cruel came at the Eldar when it was only meters from a wide service vehicle exit. 3 dirty yellow power loaders had been drawn across the exit to prevent the Eldar's escape, the gaps between jammed haphazardly with crates of algal feedstock. Soldiers fired wildly over their barricade, desperate to bring the killer down before it got among them. The Eldar leapt out of the way of every shot with stunning agility, every flip and twist bringing it nearer. A final leap, a sword of bright silver glinting in the dim light. Shurikens wickered through the air. In moments, the guardsmen were dead. Their deaths, though quick, gave Cruel the time he needed to draw near.
"Stop!"
he called. The Eldar halted, poised on the cab roof of a wheeled loader. It cocked its head at Cruel. A white domino mask covered its face, one black tear sliding down the cheek over and over again. Close-fitting motley clad its body. For all the Eldar's otherworldly slenderness, its limbs rippled with muscle. Cruel advanced. The Eldar leapt backwards over his head, its body shattering into a blizzard of geometric shapes. The alien somersaulted through four complete turns as it flew, its true form barely visible as a fuzzy outline in a field of spinning diamonds. Krul's chronaxic implants kicked in, chemical stimulants overloading his metabolism and sending his heartbeat into a continuous blur. His sense of time slowed to the point he could have slipped between the raindrops of a storm. The alien was still faster. A hail of discs shot out of the alien's pistol, the feed mag disappearing upwards. Krul dodged three. A fourth sliced into his bicep, embedding itself in the adamantium, reinforcing his humerus. He suppressed the pain, wheeling over in a scissoring cartwheel, driving his feet at the alien. The Eldar leaned back so far, his crest of hair brushed the bloodied floor. Krul sprang off his hands onto his feet and aimed a devastating punch, but the Xenos wove out of the way, spinning around and bringing its pistol to bear again. Krul slapped the gun off target just as a spray of deadly discs hissed from its snout. He evaded the humming power sword that followed. The Eldar flipped backward over and over, firing as it went. Krul dived aside, a storm of shurikens following him. His eyes flicked to the creature's broad girdle. Some kind of grav belt. The Eldar spread its arms and flipped towards him, bouncing lightly from the catwalk guardrail. Krul charged at it, dropping to his side and sliding under a further fusillade of discs. He scooped up a las rifle, still sticky with blood, and fired. The Eldar leaned casually out of the shot's way and bisected the las gun with its sword. The metal and plastic came apart with a bang. Krul fended off further strikes with the smoking butt of the gun. He swung at the flat of the Eldar's blade, more of his improvised weapon disintegrating with every parry. The Eldar cartwheeled at him, flicked its sword down into the ground, and used it as a pivot to swing around the hilt, feet out, catching Krul full in the face. The assassin staggered back, and the Eldar moved in for the kill. But Krul was feigning concussion. As the Eldar drove its sword at Krul, he stepped sideways, shifting his stance so that he came outside the Eldar's arm. He grabbed the alien's girdle and tore it free. The Eldar danced back, but not fast enough. Krul grabbed its sword wrist and slammed the heel of his palm into its elbow, shattering the delicate bone. It took the blow without a sound. The sword fell from its limp hand to dangle by its power feed. The alien rolled along Krul's arm until the two were as tightly pressed as dance partners.
"You fight well for a human," it said in accented Gothic.
The smooth golden snout of its weapon pressed under his chin. A crack shattered the moment. The Eldar fell, a smoking hole in its temple beside its mask. Bangorich stood behind, his hand out, the ring of his digital laser exposed over his knuckle. He sucked at his flesh where the discharge had singed his skin and shook out his fingers with a pained expression.
"I told you to be careful."
Krul looked at his fallen foe. It seemed so fragile, dead. Its limbs thin as reeds, more like the doll of a rich upper hive child than a creature that had lived and breathed. His hand went to the disc embedded in his bicep. He cut his fingers on it as he tried to pull it out, for it was lodged fast in the metal and bone of his upper arm. Thangorich strode over to the dead alien.
"These are their elite of elite. We were lucky to kill it."
Krul left the disc where it was. He flexed his fist.
"It hurts like hell."
"Do you know, Krul, one of the reasons I've always enjoyed your company is that you never say anything asinine like, 'I had it covered,' or other such nonsense."
"I didn't. I'd be dead without you."
Krul spoke quietly. He was panting hard and sweat and blood ran from his skin. He had never come this close to being beaten.
"Quite. The question is, what is it doing here? I wanted to interrogate it. It's a shame I had to kill it to save you, but I had no choice. I could not cripple it. Their weapons are mentally operated, so it was the head or it was nothing."
"You have my thanks."
"Save them. In not too long a time, the Orc ambassador will be back aboard the attack moon, and you may yet die today."
Thangorich stroked at his scar in thought.
"Only 7 or so," Mikado said. "That's an awfully small number to try anything meaningful at the palace, even for Xenos as arrogant as the Eldar. I'm not so sure all is as it seems here. Come, we'd better go,
or there will be none of the Xenos left to question.